Representative Venice is probably trading software. There it is. Representative Flory, where is Representative Flory?
There is.
Representative Flory and Representative Mannix, the AWOL.
I've got to put these things higher. Hell.
Okay. The committee will close the hearing on House Bill 2250, 2251, 2252. Open the work session. House Bill 2250, 2251, 2252. We'll start with 2250. 2250, as we already know, is the police stop bill. It seems to me that there are really two basic issues, two things we have to confront here. The first one is an amendment issue which was proposed by the state police. And the proposal was that on line six, after the word crime, I believe the suggested language was or offense or violation. It was that?
Correct.
Or was it an infraction, Representative Bryan?
It was offense.
Yes, an offense.
It was offense
or infraction. I'm not particularly personally concerned with the detail of it because on a personal standpoint, I'm not that enthusiastic about the amendment. Is anybody, now we're going to work session on that, does anybody want to propose that amendment? Anybody in love with that amendment?
I'd like to. As I say, I want this bill to have some chance in the Senate side.
Well, it's
that's true.
The bill is going to have to be carried over by a cat.
I understand that, but that's I don't want to make it any more burdensome. You see what I'm trying to say? You understand my statement?
Yes, I realize.
Something
that Representative Miller.
We could forward at the conference.
Yeah, we could forward at the conference committee. So I hear no motion on the amendment. Do I hear a motion on the amendment? Okay, going once, going twice. No motion on the amendment. On the bill itself, Representative Courtney.
Move it to the full committee.
I would like to make a comment on the bill.
He's placed the motion to full committee.
I'll withdraw it.
We're going to discuss it. I'm placing your motion. Right now, discussion. Representative Bauman.
Sorry, Representative Courtney. I understand now what you did. I have a couple of concerns. My first concern is that reading interpretations of our statutes in Court of Appeals reports can be kind of nightmarish, and I'm worried about the Judiciary Committee handing over language like is about to commit a crime to be practiced out in the field and then translated for practitioners by the Court of Appeals. I'm concerned that we don't establish any kind of criteria that our discussion really hasn't clarified very much what our thinking is about what the limits are on that translation of behavior by a police officer. And my other concern is, if there is a concern about liability insurance in 1983 offenses right now with the current standard, wait till we get into the interpretation of about to commit a crime and 1983 offenses and liability insurance concerns. So I'm not sure that we aren't digging a hole for ourselves and really for law enforcement, in addition to increasing an already heavy burden on the Court of Appeals by going into this. Now, I'm still curious. There was a little bit of a discussion about attempt and substantial steps constituting substantial steps toward the commission of an offense, constituting the offense of attempt whatever, which is a crime, which can be reasonably suspected of having been committed under current statute. That's one concern. My other concern is I think this discussion of war and offense is interesting, and it seems to me that some of the problem with the stops with regard to marijuana use, which is currently an offense, could be resolved if we entertained an amendment to omit the new language on line 5 and 6 and inserted, or an offense.
Now, do you make that as an amendment?
I only propose that for the discussion of the committee. If the chair wants an amendment, I'll propose that as an amendment, although I still, I'm not sure I would support it as an amendment.
Well,
I'm just proposing to those people.
She wants to discuss it. But,
concern. I don't, Mr. Chair, what I'm trying to do is be accommodating. I see a gigantic problem in terms of legal interpretation of the language that we're inserting. And if the problem that has been presented to us today has more to do with whether what we're witnessing is an offense or a crime as being the threshold for the stop, the committee feels that way, then I would propose that the committee discuss the amendment that I just voted, but I'm not going to move it.
Same bound. The discussion, what's your pleasure? Representative Flory, anything? Brian? Minnis? Representative Minnis, any comment?
I have a question to Representative Bauman. Perhaps I don't understand where the confusion is with regard to the Court of Appeals in the state of Oregon and where they would lack any basis of information for any understanding of what standards would be set, since in my limited training there have been cases on a federal level since the Terry versus Ohio case that have substantially drawn limits and standards and lines for police officers, and there are standards throughout the nation where they're trained. I guess maybe I need to understand from your perspective where the Court of Appeals is going to create a problem for that issue.
I think it would be a problem, Representative Minnis, and it's conjecture, and I conjecture that it would be a problem. I suppose it's possible to conjecture that it would not be a problem. And then the problem in front of the committee is whether we don't, as members, need to resolve that speculative kind of philosophy about writing laws and putting them on the books before we pass them out.
For the, Representative Courtney?
What's the case law on the about to commit in terms of the actual steps
you're
taken?
Basically, you're about to adopt a Terry standard, U.S. versus Terry 392 U.S. 1. And again, as the prior language I quoted to you,
That was my understanding. Yeah.
That's the kind of the case law pigeonhole you're stepping into or something. I don't know how comfortable the committee is with that. I think Representative Bauman is uncomfortable with it. I'm comfortable with it. From a personal standpoint, I'm very uncomfortable with the addition of the word offense and violation. I just think that's just too broad. But as long as it does indeed say crime, the reason why I am particularly attracted to this is that this is, and it sounds almost rhetorical, but I think there's a little truth to this is a crime prevention bill. And given that, I'm going to support it. Now, I don't want to monopolize the discussion. Do we have any further discussion? Representative Mannix, I think we're working 2250.
I mean, with apologies, one phone call turned into much too much. I'm learning my lessons about these breaks. I understand Representative Bauman has expressed some concerns about the ramifications of this. I didn't hear her comments, so I don't think it's appropriate for me to try to respond.
Any further discussion on this matter before I call the roll, or I have the roll call? Not. Representative Courtney has moved House Bill 2250 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, unamended. The clerk, he's ready. Always catch the clerks in the worst. We'll call the roll.
Baum?
Yes.
Bauman?
No.
Brian?
Aye.
Clark?
Okay.
No, he's not.
Courtney?
Yes.
Bennett?
Yes.
Keller?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Glory.
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 Aye.
And Representative Minnis.
I'm not on the subcommittee.
Oh, that's right.
What's that? Well, you can vote so we can get, we might just have a full committee, no?
Yeah, he'll get it. 7-1, the bill is sent to the full committee. For 8 minutes, you've been so good, I'm going to let you carry that in the full committee.
I would be honored.
Right?
I would be honored.
Oh, man, okay. House Bill 2252 is the, I'm sorry, House Bill 2251, let's get this in the right order, is the joinder statute here. On a technical level to start with, I believe there was a necessity for an amendment on line 11. Is that right? And the insertion at line 11 should be the deletion of the term three words, indictment or information, the deletion of those three words, and the inclusion of the two-word statement, accusatory instrument. That's a fairly technical amendment. I would ask that that be submitted to the committee. Is there any objection to that amendment? No objection. As to the bill itself, I think the next thing we need to confront, and it's perhaps not as big of a hurdle as it seems, and it was a request by Mr. Penn that we look at the memo. it's not dated, but again, I referred to this in the record. It's the document presented to us, Oregon District Attorney's Association Justice Building in Salem, Oregon, and it starts at the top, Federal Rule 8. Is that right, Mr. Penn? And this is the, Mr. Penn, why don't you come up front here for a second? Mr. Penn, this is a great way to keep us from taking on this bill. You overwhelmed us with information. This instrument or this document reflects the Ninth Circuit judicial interpretation of Federal Rule 8, Federal Rule 14. Is that correct?
Specifically, yes, Mr. Chair, it deals with the areas where there is prejudice, where the court allows severance. And there's basically four subheadings that it will talk about, where they may have a defense to one charge but not to the other in similar circumstances. And so that would adopt or delineate the Ninth Circuit rulings allowing severance.
I'm going to give the committee just a second to look at that. I mean, it's, I don't want to spoil you, but that's...
Just a second to look at this. Good, but I'm not that good.
Read it.
I think the primary factor would be that legislative history would show that the committee is interpreting and wanting this standard to be interpreted as the Ninth Circuit has up to this date. And if there is language as along those lines, that's the important factor.
Well, as I peruse this memo, I'm relatively comfortable with it, and will, I believe, if this goes to full committee, want to revisit it in full committee. This will not be an amendment. It's merely reference to a particular document in the creation of legislative history. So we do this frequently, and it's not an amendment. You know, the amendment, we've already amended the bill. So with that, unless there's some discussion of this legislative history aspect of it, we'll move on to the bill itself. It seems to me that this is I don't know if you want to call this up and down public policy question, but it seems to be a situation here where Oregon does have a relatively peculiar situation regarding joining representing Courtney.
Give me some history. Weren't we dealing with this thing in the 81, 83 session 2? What happened?
A5 just passed before.
It never dealt with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Dale Penn was.
Mr. Penn, again.
Perspective on that, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Representative Courtney, in the 81 or 83 session, we had joinder of parties.
That's correct.
where we adopted the federal rules about joinder of defendants. We now have that capability. Okay. This brings us online as far as joinder of charges against one defendant.
So now it makes sense, because we went through that battle then, and I thought we had fought it and it had been completed. All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you hear the response, Mr. Chair?
Yes, I did. I was informed that it passed the House last session.
Yes?
Yes. Yes. Passed House 48-1 last session, was tabled in the Senate Judiciary.
So this simply attempts to join up, this is my perspective, the parties, join the charges with the parties now, which was done in the early 80s.
Yes.
Move to the full committee, Mr. Chair.
Representative Courtney moves House Bill 2251 to the full committee and the new pass recommendation as amended. Discussion.
Yes, excuse me, that was very poor of me. I should have known to say that.
Discussion.
Well, I've got some concerns about this bill too. And I hope I'm not just sort of the voice of Christmas past. I can't remember what the questions were from last session. Although I remember is that this is very familiar. And my concerns from, I guess then from my practice both as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney. First, as a prosecutor, I want to comment that I think it is always only the prosecutor who can offer a plea negotiation. It is never the defendant's choice to demand a plea negotiation. The DA is sitting firmly in the driver's seat in that one. And when there are 7 or 8 charges outstanding, the DA can say, you're going to plead guilty to one, or I'm going to take you to trial on all 7 or 8. And that's the deal. I'm a little bit concerned with the impact on juries, which I'm sure will occur, when they have one person who's charged with 8 similar crimes. And I realize that that is prejudicial. That sounds prejudicial to the committee. That impacts me as being very prejudicial. And I think my concern is just that. Kind of where there's smoke, there's fire, this person must be guilty of something.
I know the feeling.
And I also want to comment that I'm a little bit unclear about what the impact of this is going to be on sentencing guidelines.
Representative Corey.
Well, the only way I know to respond is I asked the question from the history. The District Attorney of Marion County gave us that. Can I assume that there has not been major problems with the joinder of parties, or would it have come back to this body or not? Can I assume that or not? It's no longer I'm in practice. I'm not in that line of work. Has that been a problem?
Somebody want to volunteer a short answer to that question?
Litigate every day.
Chairman, if I may.
What?
I may.
Yep. Representative Mannix?
Mr. Penn is coming up here. I think he was about, he can give us that.
Okay, Mr. Penn, yes. County Attorney, volunteer, short answer to the question.
Mr. Chair, there hasn't been any problem, certainly in this county. I've known of none statewide. I don't see that issue being litigated in the advance sheets or in the appellate courts. I believe that federal rules of joinder of parties has worked very well.
All right. Now, Mr. Chair, just to respond to...
Yeah, Representative Miller.
From your historical recollection, 48-1 vote in the last session in the House, do you recall who the one vote was?
I believe it was Representative Springer.
Thank you.
Now, I am sensitive to the concerns Representative Bauman has about prejudice, but I thought that was taken care of in lines 20 through 22.
Well,
Or is that not the case? Am I misreading this new language that's being offered here?
Well, in rejoinder to Representative Bauman, you'd argue that indeed it was, and it was also taken care of if you read very briefly the federal case, but she obviously is not that comfortable with it.
Okay, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to make light of this stuff, because she uses the word prejudice, and that is something I think we should be concerned about. I thought there was this, use my kind of language, this out here to try to protect a defendant who might be faced with that, assuming that she or he has proper legal counsel who's doing a good job in representing them, that would file these kinds of motions or raise total hell if they thought that this kind of situation was developing. Now, I realize that often, and I'm just trying to respond as best I can, but I'm not trying to make light of your concerns, Representative Baum.
No, I appreciate that, and I assume that all the concerns that are expressed in the committee are genuine, authentic, their concerns, and I think we all share that. I think we did a very enlightened act last session when we asked for a fiscal analysis of the impact of new crimes. So my question on this, in addition to the question about the civil rights question, is we know that we're dropping pebbles in a pond, and I'm very curious about whether this is going to increase indigent defense costs, or if it's going to decrease indigent defense costs. I mean, I would like to know if it's going to decrease settlement negotiations, plea negotiations. I want to know what the impact is on sentencing guidelines. I don't feel satisfied that I have a real picture of how this fits into the criminal justice system. And I'm aware that there are some civil rights.
There's you do have the fiscal impact memo, July 20th, 88, from Ken Jones, and which, if you read it, doesn't really, like so many of these memos, doesn't really say anything. But my gut feeling is, having been through a few plea negotiations, my gut feeling is this will probably save a little bit of money in the long run, probably indigent defense, because the indigent defense attorneys will only be charging for one case.
I haven't put, Mr. Chairman, I haven't put that statement on the record that they're going to talk about increasing indigent defense cost. I better put a conflict on the record because I am a contractor as a part-time basis. Oh. So I don't know whether where to start that process.
No, you don't about. Because you're part of a class, and if it's a class, okay. You never have to put a conflict on the record.
Want
to
make
you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Representative Minnis, a short comment before we move on with this one.
Very short comment. The language that's being deleted currently indicates that at times presently things can be consolidated by a judge. And I'm wondering, with reference to the prejudice question, isn't it the practice now that routinely judges will consolidate charges, and wouldn't that be
trials,
the same argument today?
Trials, I believe.
But is that only with respect to defendants, or is that,
yes.
that is only with respect
mm-hmm.
to defendants?
Yes. Final comment from Representative Manning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Right. We need to remember that the final protector of citizens' rights is the judge, and the judge is allowed to make a ruling, even under this statute, whenever prejudice appears to arise. Thank you.
If there's nothing further, I'd like to call the roll and this move us along. Clerk, call the roll, starting with Representative Mannix. Well, you can just do it.
Just call roll the vote.
Why don't I just do it for Representative Mannix?
Yes.
Representative Clory?
Aye.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Bauman?
Yes. No.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative, the chair votes yes. I was starting to, hated to push this, but we're running out of time, and we've perhaps got the hardest bill here for the last. This is the body wire bill. Again, here, as far as I remember, there were no specific amendments proposed. Am I wrong?
I show none, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Bryan.
I can defer to Representative Mannix. He actually raised the question originally.
Minnis.
You got me doing that.
Eminem.
I was only going to exceed. Wasn't. Go ahead.
I guess the suggestion would be that on line 24 and line 20 of the bill, where it talks about direct supervision, the word direct be deleted so that it's simply supervision.
Okay. Now, as a good proper form, Representative Minnis, as a courtesy, I'll propose that formally for you. That's a substantive amendment, I think deserves some discussion. If I understand you Representative Minnis, you're concerned about a situation where normal operating procedure might be an informant, and somebody might aver that the informant is not under direct supervision. That's why you're concerned about that particular word.
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Mr. Chairman, in the case of a wire situation, if there was someone in a building and someone out listening, the concern would be how a court might interpret the word supervision if you can simply hear but cannot respond to. Is that supervision if you're only monitoring and cannot correct
my personal interpretation of the word supervision is much, much, much broader even than that. I don't want to get stuck. I think you're narrowing us down too far. I mean, my supervision is the guy or woman works for you.
And they want to
would not to need direct. To have the ability to correct or to be supervising. You would not need to have the ability to correct or contact the person.
Not on a direct one-to-one hands-on basis. I'm Representative Bauman.
I share the same concerns.
So do you support the amendment?
The direct supervision may imply that they have to be able to look at them, correct them.
Representative Bauman, you support the amendment. For the discussion of the deletion amendment, Representative Mannix?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to support the amendment because I want to make it clear that it is my intention to talk about general supervisory authority and not specific direct supervision.
Representative Corey, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Representative Courtney?
I support the amendment.
Support the amendment. Representative Miller? Mm-hmm. Representative, support the amendment?
Support the amendment.
Okay, the amendment's adopted without objection. Now, to the bill itself.
Move 2252 to the full committee.
Representative Courtney moves House Bill 2252 to the full committee to pass recommendation as amended. It's a relatively simple public policy question here. OCDLA has articulated a position on expectation of privacy. On one hand, you have a concern for expectation of privacy. On the other hand, you have a law enforcement concern about the expeditious use of body wires in drug situations. What's your pleasure? Let's have some more discussion. Representative Mannix?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would make one comment, and that is that we tend to forget sometimes when we talk about expectations of privacy that some of the statutory scheme right now creates a false expectation of privacy. And if we would clarify the statutes and make it clear as to under what circumstances we're going to allow a body wire, so to speak, to be used without a court order, we are trying to get the message out as that law enforcement can use this technique in certain circumstances. Right now, the expectation of privacy would be that, you can talk to anybody in private, and they'd have to have a court order in order to be able to record you. Citizens would have to be aware that there may be circumstances where the police authority can use the body wire without having to have a court order.
Let's hear a little more discussion. Representative Flory, anything? Representative Courtney, anything?
I had a query about federal law now. It is or isn't? What is it?
Dovetails with it.
Dovetails.
It dovetails. Okay.
Representative Bryan, any further comment?
Only that I feel it is important to give the extra efficiency to the
Representative Bowen.
Got to have probable cause anyway, so it's
to got some safeguard.
Representative Bauman, you're still reservation?
I'm going to vote.
Representative Miller?
I'm prepared to vote.
Okay. Now, if there's no further discussion, why don't we call the roll? Always get them when they're changing the tape.
Save on tape this year.
Are we still going? Are we going? We are going. Representative Mannix.
Yes.
Representative Flory.
Aye.
Representative Courtney.
Yes.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Baum.
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Mason votes yes. Bill passes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. That was a lot in one day. I'm sure this will be discussed in full committee. I'm sure that you who would support the bill, I would get over to the Senate.
Yeah. Over there right now.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much. Yes, these witness sheets are part of the record.
We do not screw around.
How you doing? Passed. Y'all passed. Y'all passed. Yes. Who you're Stephanie. Ah. Good message, Henry. Okay. I don't think we did anything to it. All amendments were very technical.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
I told you roller skates. You were asking me when I said we were going to need roller skates.
Skateboard.
All right. You know, this is.